Totes Recall.
Welcome to Totes Recall, the podcast where we talk about a movie we can't remember very well, then pause the recording, eat two pizzas and two salads. Thank you, patrons. Watch that movie. Come back for a second half.
Wow.
Now we're talking about the movie again. We know a little bit more about it. What did we get right or wrong? How does that movie look in, under the harsh glare of 2022 eyes? My name is Dan.
This is Molly.
I'm also Dan.
And I'm Beth.
And our movie this very special episode is Pretty Woman.
Oh!
I've never seen
Pretty Woman. I've had that song in my head all day. Is that in the movie?
Is it from the movie or is it older than the movie?
Is this a Mrs. Robinson sitch?
No.
No.
I mean, it could be. I don't know in what way you mean that, but in terms of the title song, I think predates.
Okay. I think that's what Dan was asking, was if the song was written for the movie.
And I'm pretty sure, I think I've seen one of those terrible shows on Netflix that sort of pushed, you know, compiled a bunch of things together to be like, here's behind the scenes of the movie.
Sure.
Mm. Oh.
But I'm pretty sure it had a totally different title. And then some executive was like, what about Pretty Woman? Like the song says it all.
Oh,
wow. So that's how it became Pretty Woman.
They walked over to the whiteboard, wrote Pretty Woman, the song, and then a bunch of dollar signs around it.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, that is like the most like Hollywood, you know, like conference room meeting where it's like, what if we just called it Pretty Woman? Because there's a pretty woman.
That's what people want to see.
You know what I want to see is a pretty woman.
Yeah, they first wrote sexy broad. And then someone else was just like, eh. We're trying to reach all quadrants here.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah.
I have not seen this movie.
Who has seen this
movie? Me neither.
Are you serious?
Have you seen it?
Of course I have.
3-1? We're doing a 3-1?
Wow, this is like a Tokyo Drift situation.
Wow, this is absolutely shocking to me. I guess it's because maybe I'm, though canonically 35, perhaps a little bit older than that. But I remember when it came out in theaters. I think that was in the 90s. I also remember, okay, it had to be before 1991.
Okay.
Because it was in 1991 that I met my Soviet Georgia's sister.
Oh.
You know, host family.
Your Soviet handler.
And she was obsessed with Pretty Woman. And she would say things like, oh, I want to go to, well, I don't want to give it away.
So what you're saying is this movie happened in the 90s, but it definitely happened before 1991.
You know what? Maybe it was 89.
88? Should 89. We do Beloved... Beloved segment, on the way to being beloved segment, union made.
On the way to be union made, union sponsored.
Pre-call, 60 second. We try and guess the movie. We haven't seen it.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going triplets of Belleville style.
That's right.
Real quick, should we just do a round of what year we thought it came out?
So Molly, lock it in.
Oh, this is very hard for me. I'm going to say 89.
86.
88.
Ooh, can't resist completing the run. I'm going 87.
Yeah, boy.
All right, here we go.
Terrific. Okay, we're
so the three of us are doing this.
Yes.
Yeah.
20 seconds apiece.
Okay.
Oh, we're going sequential?
No.
No, let's do that. No, I love it. Let's do it.
Okay.
Okay.
Who starts?
And
you.
Go.
Okay. We open on New York City. Richard Gere is a big money guy, and he has it. Julia Roberts is a prostitute.
10 seconds.
Somehow they meet each other, probably because he's looking for a prostitute. They become best friends, maybe? There's probably another woman who's not a prostitute.
Julia Roberts tries to go into a store, but they won't serve her because she is not, she's a prostitute. And then later, Richard Gere comes back in with her and they go on a shopping thing and they do that little like... little jewelry thing where he like bites her hand with the jewelry box. And that's it.
My best friend in junior high school's mom was a model and she's on the cover of a magazine in this movie.
What?
Richard Gere buys
10 seconds.
Her a nice dress and she's like, oh my God, I've never had a nice dress. I feel like a real woman. Then they get married.
Oh, wow. Barf. Stop, stop, stop.
I think we nailed it.
I think that seems right, We definitely covered everything I know about
Movie. Yeah. I mean, literally all I know is this thing.
Yeah.
I don't even know that. I just know Julia Roberts is a sex worker. Richard Gere is there.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I assume he's a client, but I don't know.
Yeah, maybe he's just a friend.
Mm-hmm.
He probably has a convertible car.
Mm.
She wears a wig.
Great bet. Wait, like... The whole movie or just sometimes?
Sometimes. She has like a little bob wig.
Ooh, okay. Oh.
I feel like in DVDs previews.
Sure.
Is this a funny movie? Is this a rom-com?
I think it's a rom-com, but maybe there's a dramatic turn.
It feels like I'm going to hate it.
Oh, yeah.
Because you hate rom-coms?
No.
No, he hates women.
I hate women. It's in the title. Come on. No, it's, I don't know. My imagination of this movie is like, she's a sex worker. He hires her, but it's like, oh, but he actually wants to fall in love. And then he saves her. And that makes me want to barf.
Yeah, I do have concerns that there will be some, as we've discussed in previous episodes with previous movies, perhaps some problematic power dynamics going on with this presented as romantic relationship.
Yeah. Molly's grunting leads me to believe I am wrong.
Yes.
There's maybe more to it.
No, I'm thinking about it. Go ahead, Beth.
I was going to apologize for using the word prostitute, but they definitely use that word in this movie.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, sex worker is probably more
correct. Of a time. I will say this for it, and this may be changed with rewatching it. But the way I remember it being presented is these are two business people who put business first.
Oh.
She knows herself and her business.
Okay.
And she is not presented as someone who's frail or in need of rescue.
Okay.
And he is in mergers and acquisitions, which is very 80s.
Of course. Yes.
Yeah. Both of them approach it as a business.
Interesting.
So he's like, I can business your business?
No, he's not offering her any business
advice.
He's not
an angel investor?
He's not an angel investor. It's not like that. I guess I'm just saying it's not like she is a frail prostitute who wants to be doing something different. Mm. It's more like she is a sex worker who has her own business and knows herself.
Gotcha.
Oh, and they're just like buds hanging out?
But they have a mutual respect, perhaps.
I don't know. I guess I'm just saying it's not what you've presented. I don't want to give away. This is always the interesting moment when not all of us have seen the movie. Mm-hmm. Is I think part of the fun is that you don't know what's going to happen, which is insane to me because this movie played on TBS nonstop for like 20 years.
It had a woman in the title. I don't want to watch it.
I feel like
new listeners, this is not Dan's actual personality.
Hey, you don't stand up for him. He can defend himself from his bits.
I mean, probably as a like an 11-year-old boy or whatever.
That's true. You probably were like, ugh.
Probably was like, yeah, prostitute, great.
Really?
A deep 11-year-old.
You wouldn't even know what it was about. You just see pretty women, you're like, snooze. And then you see another that's like, Ninja Death Squad. And you'd be like, hell yeah.
Hell yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I was too young when it was on. I think it was a movie for teens and adults. And I was probably a preteen when it was really playing.
For sure. But that's just when it first came out, though. What I'm telling you is this has been on, and it was like a constant ratings getter for TBS for so long. Like they could run it, I don't know, they ran it pretty frequently, and every time it did well.
Mm. I'm excited to see it because it is, permeates culture so deeply.
Yes.
So I'm excited to understand the references, and maybe there are references that I hear all the time that I don't even know are references to that movie.
Yeah.
Richard Gere was a superstar.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I also don't care about him at all.
Yes.
Is that just because the era he's from, or he was like good generic man at a time? Whereas like Julia Roberts, she pops. She's in contention for America's Sweetheart at this table.
Right.
Yeah.
But Sandra Bullock.
She was definitely America's Sweetheart before Sandra Bullock came along.
Oh, yeah. Especially after Pretty Woman came out.
Oh, yeah. This was like her big breakthrough role. She had been in Mystic Pizza before this.
Mm-hmm.
There is a character in this movie that is very prominent that you're going to be excited to see.
Oh, a best friend?
Not exactly.
Hot dog car vendor?
No, I'm so sorry. I've misled you. No. But it is the same character actor who was also in The Princess Diaries.
The guard.
What?
Secret Service?
This is a Gary Marshall movie.
It is.
This is a Gary Marshall?
Gary Marshall?
Yes.
You're telling me swarthy sex machine bodyguard is also in this movie?
Yes.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
That is exciting.
Is this a kind of a family movie?
It was made by Disney.
I don't know. See?
It was like a Disney-owned company.
It must be because,
Buena Vista?
Buena maybe. Vista, maybe. Yeah, I think so.
But like, is it less about sex than I think it is?
Right.
That's handled in a very straightforward way. And I would say I would personally feel uncomfortable watching it with a young person.
Gotcha. Mm.
Okay. For a particular scene.
Oh.
But then once butts? You...
We talking what? Butts?
They're going to be butts
we
in
talking
this?
Butts?
It's just like pretty clear what's happening.
Because you can see a butt?
Or two butts?
I'm not sure how to really put this. You know what? Let's talk about
it. Sounds like we're not
going to
see
half.
A butt.
I mean, you're not going to see.
Jaquette's bald bet, two butts.
Oh, yeah. Butt bet.
There's not so much butt.
I bet Julia Roberts is topless.
Wow, boy.
Yes. Not so much. It's oh, more shoot. Like
sack? Are we getting full sack?
Sack?
No, sack. You're not getting any flaccidness. No.
No flaccidness.
No.
Wait.
Wow.
What?
Listen, it's just very clear which sex act she is committing.
I see.
Oh.
And she's distracted by something. And that's a part butt. Comedy, but also part about who her character is.
I see.
Got it.
Right. Everybody so listening sounds, knows what I'm talking about.
This sounds like comedy and mm-hmm. romance.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it is a rom-com.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But it's got some dark undertones, and they took some, it used to be darker. The
really?
First script was way darker, and they really brought it back.
How much does it deal with, like, class and economic issues?
I think it certainly confronts them.
Okay. Is this like the Magic Mike of the 80s?
No, Magic Mike is like way more down to earth and less about the stripping and, you know, whatever that people think it's
this
about.
Is the most surprising thing about Magic Mike.
I still haven't seen it.
I haven't either.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've heard it's a real romp.
I recently went on my honeymoon to Hot Vanna.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do we call it? Sweat Vanna.
Sweat Vanna. That's good.
Hot Vanna's fine.
And Magic Mike XXL is listed as one of the movies that takes place there.
Nice.
So did you watch it?
I think I have seen that with your wives.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep, no big deal.
Brag.
And Molly.
Mm-hmm.
Brag.
Yeah.
Ooh, hello there, Channing Tatum. It's me, the mayor of Savannah, Georgia.
It was a robber, huh?
Are you and Joe Manganiello going to come and take off your clothing around the whole community to save the rec center or some whatever this movie's about?
I think that's what it was about.
Sure.
Here's all I remember about it.
Matthew McConaughey maybe is in the first one. Are you going to empower these troubled young men through the power of sexual dance?
Mm-hmm. Channing Tatum... wants to make furniture. Is that this one?
That's the plot of
Maybe.
That movie?
Yeah, which I thought was so interesting because I had just recently... we had also watched Stella Got Her Groove Back.
Oh, it's a great one.
Is that the name of it?
Super
how,
fun, yeah.
How Stella Got Her Groove Back. And she also makes furniture.
Is that how she gets her groove back?
No.
No.
She gets her groove back by grooving with a very
butts?
Younger
butts?
Man.
Two butts?
There are for
so
sure
many
butts in that movie, right?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Anyway... Furniture making is also a trope in these movies.
Sure. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is in this movie, at some point, Julie Roberts makes a chair.
Yeah. She's
yeah.
Like,
awesome.
Just like whittling.
Is this where I bring up I watched 1 hour of Dog on an airplane recently?
Yes.
So like the first like 2/3 of it, I assume?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Channing Tatum movie about him taking a army dog
mm-hmm.
to the army dog's master's funeral.
Oh, wow.
I guess I kind of wanted to finish it, but I guess not enough to actually do it on the other plane ride. But way more like, haha, aren't liberals dumb, the army rules, than I expected.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And I don't know if that's just the kind of movie it was, or if we were seeing a Channing Tatum arc where he comes around that like murder's not as cool as he thought it was.
Because you missed the ending?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. But like, it really had me thinking.
Mm.
Still, Channing Tatum, very charming.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
How about that dog?
Good dog.
Nice.
But also bad dog.
Wow.
Troubled dog.
Oh.
Dog went through trauma.
Oh.
Dog was attacking everybody.
Oh, no.
Yeah, understandable.
But who is going to heal whom?
All right. Mm. You won't know because you never watched the ending.
Yep. How did they both just end up as broken as they were at the beginning?
Yeah,
that's
maybe.
Usually how movies work.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, so I refused to finish it because they didn't allow us to sponsor
that movie. They didn't pay us to advertise for the movie. Channing Tatum, you lost.
Yeah,
you
we busted. Tweeted dogs at you for like a year.
Yeah, not Beth, quite. Edit my ramble so it sounds menacing and good.
Got it.
So it sounds menacing.
Done.
Wow.
Thank you.
Just put a filter over it where he says like a crazy Darth Vader voice. All of a
sudden. Here's a question about Pretty Woman, the movie we were watching. Do you think it'll pass the Bechdel Wallace?
Gosh, it's got woman in the title. Isn't that an automatic
pass?
But
it's singular.
Pass?
No. It's singular.
I'm going to say yes.
She's got to have a best friend.
She has to have some sort of friend or, yeah, there has to be another woman around.
I'm going to say yes, too.
Because pretty implies that you're being compared to someone else.
So there has to be a less pretty woman.
Yes. There's got to be an ugly woman. Yeah. Otherwise, what is pretty?
Right.
I'm going to up the ante and say I think there could be two different groups of women who pass.
Wow.
So I think Julia Roberts is still at the center of each of them.
Okay.
It's a pivot situation, so not a, you know, four people.
Venn diagram of passing.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, and guess who else is in this movie? Jason Alexander.
Wow.
He plays a real, real not cool person.
Do we see his butt?
Maybe. It's possible.
Nice.
I don't think so, but never know.
Never know.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
She says, "You've made a mistake. Big mistake. Huge."
Yeah.
That's a quote.
That is a quote.
What is she talking about?
I keep on going back to the scene. So this is what I understand, is that at one point she goes into a store that is pretty expensive, and the owner or somebody who works at the store kicks her out because she's like, "You aren't good enough," or she like doesn't pay attention to her or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then she comes back with Richard Gere and then tells, or maybe without him, but with the money.
Show me the money.
Show me the money.
And she does.
And she's like, "You've made a big mistake."
I'm
or maybe she says that
woman.
First. No. I don't know. I've never seen the movie, so I was trying to.
No, yes. Of course not.
Oh,
so
wow.
Hard.
We'll find out in the second half.
Right?
I mean, Beth is so close.
She's like, "I'm a pretty rich woman."
And pretty rich.
And you're pretty wrong about that.
You're pretty judgy, lady.
Yeah, don't judge a book by its cover.
Mm-hmm. Judge it by its money.
That's right. This is a very pro-capitalism movie.
Is Richard Gere at any point going to tell Julia Roberts she is a pretty woman?
No.
Is Richard Gere at any point going to tell someone to buy something or sell something?
Yes.
Nice. Oh, okay.
80s.
I mean, he might tell her she's pretty. I don't know if he exactly says it.
You
like
are
that.
A pretty woman. That's the line I'm looking for.
Okay, yeah.
You are a pretty woman or you are pretty woman?
You are pretty woman. I'll take either, but I'm looking for you are
I'm looking
pretty
for
woman.
Pretty woman, don't walk away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Is that the song?
Yeah, it's a lyric of the song.
So,
don't walk on by. Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
I just know walking down the street.
Well, she does a lot of walking in that song.
80s movies love New York sex workers.
Is that
they
true?
Do, but this doesn't take place in New York.
What? LA?
Oh. LA?
Wow.
Thumbs down.
Because they're at the store they're at is Rodeo Drive.
It is. Rodeo Drive.
No hot dog vendors in any part of LA.
No. Nope. Oh, it's probably just going to be like some idiot who's just like, do you want to plant a palm tree with me? Surfing lessons for sale.
Hey, bro, I got a chalupa. Put it on your butt.
What?
I'm from LA.
Wow.
I really hope these characters show up.
Hey, pretty lady, you got money? I see it in your hand that you're flashing.
You look pretty rich.
Also, you're so beautiful.
Oh, I'm throwing my skateboard in an old pool.
Oh, hey, you need some lewds? Yeah.
I mean, we don't even have to watch the movie.
I'm furious.
That is so spot on.
I'm furious it's not in New York.
No, it's definitely not in New York.
So at the end of the movie, we had guessed that Richard Gere would be saving Julia Roberts, maybe. Mm.
Yeah.
But I also want to add who saved who.
Right. Oh, right. Well, that's fair. And it's very interesting you bring up saving.
Oh.
And I think you just have to hold on to that interest until you see the movie.
Wow. Interest, saving, mm-hmm. we're talking banks.
Money, money, money. Okay, new bet. Richard Gere is targeted for assassination, and Julia Roberts saves him from the sniper's bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like a super spy, undercover.
Oh, it's revealed at the end, she's like, duh, my name is Russian woman, bitch.
And this is why Molly's Soviet
yes.
handler.
Handler. Yep. Loved the movie yeah. so much.
No, less, she did. I remember we watched it. We all watched it like as, so it was out on VHS by 1991. If sure. that gives us any clues, 92, somewhere in there. But yeah, she was like, oh, I want to go to LA and like meet Richard Gere. And I was like, oh, I feel for you. Yeah. Yeah, that movie makes us all feel that way.
How concerned should we be that some scene in this movie will activate Molly's programming?
Oh, which yeah. programming?
Very like Manchurian Candidate.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
the Queen of Diamonds yeah, or whatever.
Where like
was.
The Soviet handler has implanted certain lines from this movie.
As soon as she sees that thing close.
Oh no.
The jewelry box.
Her pupils yeah. dilate and she immediately stands upright.
Busts through the wall.
Yep.
Yep.
Kool-Aid man style and just like heads for, I don't know, the airport or something.
Strongest never boy before. Mayor in town.
Never before have our listeners had such incentive to stick around for the second half.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, if Molly's not here, you'll know.
Also in the second half, I'll find out if it is the Queen of Diamonds that in Manchurian Candidate is the trigger. I don't remember now. Is
oh,
it?
Oh, I don't know.
A card.
Jack of Diamonds?
Is it the same in both versions? I feel like it's
a
phase card.
Isn't it a certain sequence of cards?
Oh, maybe.
I feel like Sinatra has to like put up a bunch of cards at once or something in a certain order.
That movie's good.
It is good.
Yeah.
I never saw the new one.
Yeah,
I which saw the old is probably one. Bad. But the new, last one, old one, first old one.
The Ridge.
Good.
Affy?
Ooh, yeah, great question. Definitely yeah. an Affy.
Wow, how did you not know that?
I yeah. did. I knew it because I saw the oh, yeah. list.
Interesting.
You saw it before Dan did.
It's true.
So it's
yeah, I did it when I was
remember.
Like probably like in high school.
Wow. I saw the one before I did the list intentionally. Because I'm interested in film. Molly, how should we rate this movie?
Oh, what a great question.
Thanks. I'm prepared for it.
We're going to rank this by how many no hot dog cart.
What does that mean?
It is, well, usually you guys suggest what it is.
Okay.
wow.
Is it, yeah, okay, is it someone screaming for a hot dog cart to get out of there, or it's someone selling like faux hot dogs, a no hot dog.
Well, it's in LA, so they're not going to sell hot dogs.
Maybe they have a cart and like people keep on coming up and they see it. Like, I'd like a hot dog. And they're like, no hot dog cart.
Yep.
Because they don't sell hot dogs. Because
they're selling like smoothies.
Yeah. Because they're friggin' in LA. It's very
tofu
deceiving.
Dogs.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no, yeah. Like, I'm thinking like something very healthy, like a kale salad.
Corn.
With avocado.
Yeah,
it's California.
But is it like yeah. is wrapped it like in compressed turkey. Into a yeah. tube and then put in a little like sprouted bun?
No, it, there's no way it doesn't even resemble a hot dog. That's part of
there
the fury.
No hot dogs.
No hot dogs.
No hot
but
dogs.
But the cart looks like a hot dog cart.
Well, yeah, because it's been converted.
Converted hot dog.
So they took like, an old hot dog yeah. cart and converted into the like, salad
exactly.
cart.
Exactly. Okay. They painted it cool pastel yeah. 1980s LA colors.
They just didn't do it well enough, and people still think it's
no,
a hot dog cart.
No, they did a great job.
Then why are people coming up
yeah,
asking for
why,
hot dogs?
I think...
Because people are frustrating, and that's why this person is frustrated.
I see.
Okay.
This,
and that's why they're yelling,
yeah.
no hot dog cart.
Yeah,
no hot
sick
dog
of
cart.
It.
Right.
Is okay. this related at all to our very established character who sells discount teas? What's his name?
Oh, I don't remember.
Well,
oh no,
Wallace. Beebold Wallace.
Yeah, Beebold Wallace.
Beebold Wallace decided to start fresh.
Pivoted.
Oh, it's the same
Pivoted.
Guy.
Yeah.
Oh no,
because the t-shirts weren't working out, and
yeah,
so
he
went
got his
into
legs
food.
Broken by Batman.
Yeah,
yeah.
No,
poor
no. He had to move out of Gotham, and he's out in Venice Beach trying to sell.
No hot dogs.
No, well, no, he's on
salads.
Rodeo Drive.
Oh, he's on Rodeo Drive.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he makes a lot for every sale, but they're just pretty infrequent.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's just a lot of him navigating people who are just looking for a hot dog.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
This guy's had a rough couple of years.
Yeah, that's a tough time.
Listen, he's trying to, I respect the hustle, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I respect the hustle.
Yeah.
Dan?
Yes.
I respect that you are rating it first.
Thank you. I respect myself for being the one who deserves to go first.
Wow.
I don't know anything about this movie except for the clappy thing where she laughs at the clapping thing. And apparently there may or may not be butts in it. I'm also concerned, like Dan is, that I will not enjoy this movie and that it will be of its time in a way that is just like boring and dumb. So I'm going to take a cowardly 3, which I guess means, am I asking 3 times if there's a hot dog or?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm told no hot dog card 3 times.
Yes.
Okay.
Because you keep trying it, like tofu dog.
Yeah. Anything.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Like, certainly you have.
Like veggie dog.
Right.
And like no hot dog card.
Right.
Yep.
All right.
Cold kale salad.
Yeah.
Card. Yes.
Great.
The nice vinaigrette.
Beth, you are second, as we all know.
Yes.
And we respect you for it.
Yes.
Oh, well, I respect myself as well for being second and knowing I can be patient enough to not go first.
I take the note. 3.
I have no idea. I have no idea. I just, I've seen that scene probably 1,000 times, or at least like just the second where he closes it and then she laughs. And that's all I know about it. And so that seems like a okay scene.
Sure. They're fun. They're having fun.
Yeah. So 3. I'm going to go with that.
Great.
Great. My name is Dan. I am respectful that I am third.
And we respect you for it.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to give it a 2. It feels like a movie I'm not going to like for things I've already said.
Yes. And woman also, is in the title.
Woman is in the title. I don't know. Like, rom-com from a time when I had no interest in rom-coms, and maybe there's problematic parts, and I don't think I like Richard Gere that much. I like Julia Roberts. It's not in New York, so there's no hot dog cards. And it is in L.A. I don't know. I just feel like it's not going to do anything for me.
Great. Mm-hmm. All right. Bold.
So, a grumpy? Calling that a grumpy?
A grumpy 2?
That's pretty grumpy.
Nice.
Wow, just gave up after 2 tries, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Didn't have a hot dog or a hot dog.
I mean, Dan grew up in California, so he knows how it works.
Yeah, like, that's fair.
If you don't get what you want the second try,
guys. No big deal.
Yeah, it's not like Minnesota where you have to ask 3 times. Local reference.
So I'm gonna. Okay, I have some nostalgia associated with this movie. I'm hoping to see something new in it with fresher eyes. It's been at least 20 years since I've seen it. And I agree that Richard Gere is a little flat, though not as flat as rom-com dudes often are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although certainly Julia Roberts sparkles, of course. And it's basically like made around her, right? This whole movie is made for her. And she's really pivotal in it, right? Because she has to be both funny and somebody you care about. And I think my memory is they do a good job of making you care about her. And a decent job of caring about him. And then the extra characters are really fun. Right. So I'm going to give it an optimistic 4.
Nice. Wow.
With a star deducted for the cringiness that I know is about to happen.
Nice. Real quick.
Is that a 3?
It was a 4. So it was down from a 5.
4 no hot dog carts minus 1 star.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I see. No, that makes sense.
Yep.
It's like a Yelp rating.
Yeah.
Real quick, Molly,
yeah.
We respect you for waiting to go last.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
So much respect.
So much respect.
And with that, we're going to press pause, go watch Pretty Woman, and we'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. It's me, Beth Gibbs. You probably just heard me talk earlier, or maybe I didn't say anything in the first half. Time will tell. I am here to tell you that we have a couple announcements. Announcement number 1, we are going to do a live holiday show.
What?
Wow.
Yes, December 8th, save the date. We'll let you know what the movie is and the time when we find out what those things are. Yeah.
We've got some things brewing.
This live show was postponed from April 2020.
Yeah.
I was looking at the contract then, and I was like, oh.
We just weren't feeling it. Like,
This is sort of a new one, right? This is a new one. The postponed one hasn't happened yet.
I guess.
Who knows?
Who's to say?
This is like a fun little thing because we want to do something fun for the holidays. And we know that your calendars start to fill up quick. So,
Save Thursday, the date. December 8th.
Tell grandma you can't come home for an extra week because you're going to Totes Recall's live holiday show.
Oh, and it'll be in Minneapolis.
Yes, we should say that. Yes.
And if you have suggestions for a holiday movie, we will listen to them and think about them.
That seems like it's under-promising. If someone sent me a suggestion via Twitter or email or any of our social media channels, I would be ecstatic. And I would love to hear what your idea of a fun holiday movie to watch would be. Bonus if it's a little on the shorter side, just to be totally honest.
Like and if it's 87 minutes.
Yeah. And if it's probably if it's not owned by Disney, but we'll work it out. We pay for rights, people.
Yeah.
So anyway, we would love to hear your suggestions.
You can hit us up on any social media, or you can leave a voicemail about this or honestly
whatever
anything.
Else.
That number is, for maybe the first time ever, here clearly, 612-208-9788.
612-208.
There has to be a better way to remember that.
I'm already forgetting it.
Yeah, it's hard to remember.
612-8-0-8-9.
Put a do.
The last four digits
don't matter, but you do.
Judy's a butt.
Very good.
So as you can see, that jingle makes complete sense and helps you remember the real phone number, which of course is 612-208-9788.
Or you can just go to totesrecall.com and all of our contact information is there.
Sure is. Beth, sorry for stealing this from you.
No, that was my second announcement. Feel free to reach out to us at any time and we would love a voicemail.
Sure would. Love to hear some voices.
Yeah.
We're an audio medium, people.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. Back to the show.
Yay. And we're back. We just watched 1 hour and 59 minutes of 1990s fashion, Rodeo Drive, and snail catching.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
That is right. 1990 is the year of this movie. Yes. None of us guessed it.
Yes.
All 4 years prior to that.
I'd like to apologize for essentially bullying Molly into not picking 1990.
That's true. You were right there. You said before in the 90s and before 1991.
Yeah.
And that I really was like, that couldn't possibly be true.
No movies were made in 1990.
So I apologize.
Oh, you know what? That's on me. And I started to backtrack too because I was realizing it had come out on VHS and that seemed to further narrow the possibilities.
Right,
so
right. Mm-hmm.
Cowardly 1980.
And also like you probably didn't even get the movie in Soviet Russia until like 1995.
And they had to encode it with all the go words or whatever.
Yeah.
Are you making the Manchurian Candidate reference?
Yes, okay, that is. Gotcha.
It would have been the Queen of Diamonds. Yep. That was the card.
Yes. Nailed it. Beth Gibbs.
From the first half.
Yeah.
I hope we didn't activate too many agents by saying
just saying the words Queen of Hearts.
Oh, no.
Don't they have to see the card?
Well, I don't know. Now we're all seeing it in our mind's eye. Don't think of a Queen of Diamonds.
Yeah, that's like that. Yeah, it's hard not to do that.
Yeah. We need to win one more award this season before we have...
Folks, it's award season.
It's award season, and we've been winning all the awards.
Oh, baby.
For
we're
this
like
segment.
The AFI of awards winners.
Yes.
In that we have almost 123.
Yes, exactly. Our shelf is nearly
it's just
bowed growing. And broken That's by all the awards.
More brackets to hold on awards for this segment, which is 60-second summary. In which one of us summarizes the movie we've just seen, Pretty Woman, in 60 seconds or less.
No.
Right on the dot. as is tradition, I will volunteer to do it. I think I did the last movie.
I think you did.
Okay.
But I don't know because we haven't recorded in a while because somebody got married. Check out patreon.com for our bonus content.
Find out who got married.
Find out which one of us got married recently.
I feel I shouldn't do it because I've seen it a million times. Okay. So
I don't think Beth's done this segment.
Oh, there we go.
I don't think Beth's ever done it.
Yeah. No, I've never done it.
Do you want to rock, paper, scissors it?
Whoever's been married most recently has to do this segment.
One, two, three, go. Right? I'm telling you. One, two, three, go. One, two, three, go.
Wow. Winner.
So I lose.
Yeah, so you have to do it.
Got it.
Here, here, timer.
Don't want that award.
Well, I'm not the only award-winning person who can do a 60-second summary.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Unless you want to win worst summary of the year.
Oh, dude, you are.
All right, everyone, let's pull it together. The Independent Theater Artists Who Do Podcast Award is coming. Okay, and begin.
We open on Los Angeles, California. We're all furious. Richard Gere teases the fact that he actually lives in New York, and this movie could have taken place in New York, but his business is in Los Angeles. We see Julia Roberts. She is a sex worker. She may or may not have a body double putting clothing on at the beginning of the movie. We meet her friend. She's wearing a wig. Richard Gere steals a car from his lawyer and then picks her up because he doesn't know how to get back to his hotel. She says, I'll do it for $5. Oh my God. Richard Gere is like, please stay with me for a while. And she's like, okay, give me more money because that's how it works. And she undersells herself, I say. Then he says, stay with me for the whole week that I'm here. She does okay with the price. They do a little negotiating back and forth. Anyway, they get to know each other. She
48 seconds.
Has a class situation where she buys clothes and wonders why she's even involved in this. They fall in love even though they're not supposed to. Richard Gere ostensibly falls in love with her at the end. Daryl is the limo driver. He rules. Hector Elizondo helps her dress better.
Time.
Shit.
Wow.
I'm rusty, man.
That's pretty good.
I am rusty.
I feel like you like wrapped up the movie and then added some fun details at the end.
Yeah. No. I really panicked there at the end.
I think we should add that while all of this is happening, I mean, you nailed it. I think we're going to win the award for sure.
Okay, 100% just Utah, shall we say?
100% yes. Utah.
Thank you.
Just to rub faces in the competitors?
Nope.
What?
No.
Rub our awards in the competitors' faces. I'll add on some details. Beth edited this so much.
It's impossible.
Do you want it to be more menacing? Was that?
Yeah. Menacing and makes sense.
Okay.
The detail I will add is that Richard Gere has tried to seal a deal, a business deal, in which he is buying a company so he can take it apart and sell it and get money.
He is very explicit about what he does in a way that was almost refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's very clear. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no confusion over what he does. But by the end, his big moral turn is that he instead helps build a company instead of just taking it apart for money.
Yes.
We'll talk more about that later.
Yes, we will.
That business deal is happening, so you see his growth?
Question mark.
There.
I should have also mentioned that Julia Roberts' character, Vivian, she has, as Molly alluded to in the first half, they have a fairly professional but friendly relationship for most of the movie. Clearly they are warming to each other, but for the most part of the movie, they are, very pleasant companions in this business transaction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she is sort of like never quite sure why he wants her around or why he is bringing her to these very classy events and making her, dress classy and go to classy restaurants and blah, blah, blah. I don't know if he knows either, honestly.
And you know what? Neither do I.
Hey.
Yes, I find both Richard Gere and Richard Gere's character confusing.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I can't quite get a handle on either one. I think Richard Gere acts fine.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't do a bad job, but I also don't know what he's doing. And I also don't know what the character wants, and I don't really feel like he grew. And there's a lot of lines that I don't know if they're supposed to be funny.
Right.
And he delivers them in a way that is ambiguous. Like, is it a stinger?
Right.
Is it supposed to be that the character is not funny and he's doing a good job of delivering an incomprehensible line that makes no sense?
Right. I wrote at one point in my notes, is he supposed to be dead inside?
Yeah.
Kind of, I think
actually, and apparently he was directed to he was like, one of your, between him and Julia Roberts, he was like, one of your character moves and the other one doesn't.
Yes.
Guess which one you are, Richard Gere. Right. And so he had to like tone back his acting.
Yes.
Like that basically it was really about the Julia Roberts character.
Yes. And yeah. he maybe went too far.
I mean, I don't know. I think compared to what we might want to see if we were crafting the story from scratch yes. in 2022, sure. But I do want to give some credit that he is essentially like the Prince Charming character. This is basically a remake of Cinderella.
Sure.
And he has so much more growth in detail than most rom-com potential fits ever do.
Sure.
Okay.
I saw that it was adapted from Pygmalion.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which I guess I only know as My Fair Lady.
Right.
Yes.
I wondered if one of her outfits was supposed to be a homage to that. When she was wearing her
Audrey Hepps
black hat and her white dress.
I've seen that. AFI, I hated it so much.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not good.
Strong.
Wow. Here's a fun fact about that movie. I had a picture of Audrey Hepburn from that movie framed in my bedroom.
Yeah.
I had never seen the movie. I just loved Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah.
Because I just thought she was like so classy and it represented kind of like Hollywood kind of glam. And then I saw that movie. I was so disappointed.
Oh.
It's not good.
Henry Higgins.
Wait.
Which one?
Wait, which one? Are we talking Breakfast at Tiffany's?
No, you're talking about
My Fair Lady.
Oh, I like My Fair Lady.
Oh, okay.
That's fine. Sorry, I misunderstood.
Breakfast but you hated My Fair Lady.
I hated My Fair Lady.
Because it has the word lady in the title.
Yes. I'm on board with this bit. It doesn't make me uncomfortable at all. I haven't seen Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Really?
No, it's not on the Affy, and I don't need to see a caricature of a Japanese man.
It's bad.
Yeah. The book is really good.
Okay.
And the cat is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good cat. Okay.
Good cat.
There you go. Just look up YouTube Breakfast at Tiffany's cat scenes.
Cat scenes.
Yeah.
But I will say this. Like Breakfast at Tiffany's, I think it only works because, to the extent that it does work, because it's Audrey Hepburn. And I would say that this role in this movie only works because it's Julia Roberts.
Yeah. Oh, she is so charming.
Sure. She charms. Like, she charms the shit out of this movie.
Yeah.
It's just weird. I think I probably would have less issue with Richard Gere's performance if it didn't end with her falling in love with him. Because I'm just like, why?
Yeah. Well, that's what,
like, he's such a dud most of the time.
I get why he falls for her. Like, 100%.
America fell for her.
When towards the end, she tells him that she loves him.
Yes.
And we all gasped.
Yeah, and he's just like,
it was shocking. It's like, why?
Now
like,
I get why you would love that. Wouldn't we offer you a condo?
Yeah, like, love getting new clothes all the time. But, like, she genuinely seems like she loves him, and it's baffling to me.
Well, but he did act vulnerable and tell us about his dad issues.
Right. Oh.
But also, I think it's kind of...
Ow.
Yeah.
The bar is so low.
You don't understand how low the bar is.
Your back.
But also, her dating history is only dating people who are terrible.
Right.
Yeah.
Bums, as she calls them.
Bums.
Bums, right?
Yeah.
And so he's like definitely a step up from that. So she, on her romantic journey, is headed in a better direction. And she's holding a higher standard for him than he does for himself.
So what?
And he has to reach to meet it.
Are you saying that they have maybe like a 50-50 shot of making it then?
Oh, I think they'll date for a while. And I think that she will dump him and find somebody better. Nice. I think she's on a larger trajectory here.
Here's what I'm thinking, right? Mm-hmm. She what?
I said, yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, I'm thinking she, you know, they spend some more time together. They help each other, you know, like he does manage to loosen up. He does break some of that ice around his
heart. We're told by his lawyer that he's never acted this way before.
But at a certain point, she is going to look at him one morning and think to herself of that time in the whatever hotel, whatever it's called. Do you remember a kindly hotel manager by the name of Barnard Thompson?
Oh, Barnard Thompson.
And she will realize perhaps the well-dressed older man that she should spend time with is Mr. Barnard Thompson. And I will tell you why, because that is who I would choose.
Hector Elizondo rules so hard.
So what hard. A dream.
He plays the hotel manager.
Yes.
Who at first is trying to get rid of Julia Roberts.
This woman of lesser status than the hotel is catering to. Yes.
He's essentially her fairy godmother.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I get it now.
Mm-hmm. I get it. But then he
fucking rules.
He rules. I mean, he rules in like he makes the capitalist machine work. He's like, Richard Gere, Mr. Lewis, is our richest client, so we will do anything for him, but we got to be discreet. So I'm going to help you, a sex worker.
Yes.
Blend in.
Right.
And he's like, does it. He calls the right people.
He's all about
it. Makes the calls. But the most heartbreaking scene is when he's done all these helpful things and he's just trying to get some fucking recognition from Moneybags Lewis.
Yes.
And he just like tries to give him his card as Richard Gere walks away and Hector Elizondo kills it. I'm just like, oh, and I'm Mr. Thompson.
Hotel manager.
Redeemed at the end.
Yes, he does say his name. So he did actually manage to, I don't know, prostrate himself correctly in front of this very rich patron of the hotel. True Toadsheads will remember that Hector Elizondo played the incredibly sexual bodyguard Princess Diaries that definitely is banging the queen.
Oh, yes, for sure, 100%.
I have now decided in my headcanon that he is always that character. He is always a state agent of a fictional European country.
And
a very good lover and also a expert assassin.
Yes.
And so I like to believe that he is undercover in that hotel.
Okay.
And that at any time, maybe his mark was Edward Lewis, but he was so charmed by Vivian that he's like, I can't take him away from her.
He's not fully evil after all.
Right.
You don't have to. Maybe he next on the block, Richard Lewis was going to buy up Morovia or whatever that country is.
Mm-hmm. Maybe one of those Navy contracts was to sell warships to Morovia. And so he was...
Genovia.
That's close.
And he was sent there to kill Edward Lewis if he was going to destroy the Morse Company.
Okay.
But then when he learned that Mr. Lewis had warmed his heart and decided to profit off of military contracts... Which is how we know he's grown as a human being.
He's ethical now.
Yes.
Because he's building something.
Yes, he's building something that will destroy so much.
Listen, the bar is that he's not as bad as his lawyer.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's maybe the core of my problem with this character is that his growth is so minimal. Like he goes from destroying companies to building destroyers, and he goes from like not being able to emotionally attach at all to like sort of doing it a little bit.
I get you. I do think though that there is something when I was watching it more freshly this time, realizing that he sets up Vivian in a way that he was accustomed to doing. Like, I'll set you up in a wonderful apartment with all the money and stuff that you need, and then we'll be able to continue to see each other. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, I want more than that. And he's like, well, I can't do more than that. And she's like, great. I'm walking away from the table.
Fuck you.
Negotiation of love.
Yes.
I'm taking my boots and walking. Anyway, whatever. I don't know what people say. I'm a great negotiator. So the point is, but then, he has to push himself way harder than like this guy who has trouble taking off his shoes and socks at a park or taking a day off of work.
Right.
Yeah.
Stands up in the middle of a limousine with an umbrella and some flowers.
Yeah, and a flock of doves pigeons that I assume he bought.
To fly away as he drove up. But he made himself ridiculous in order to fit into what her idea was.
Right.
So I think it's actually, like, it's not good enough for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're not getting married. Right. They're just continuing their relationship as two adults who are on a similar plane with each other, right?
That's fair.
So we're not having to go as far.
Give the script credit that there is when they're first having that conversation of like, oh, I'll set you up with a condo blah, and she's saying like, I want, you know, this, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And like they do, I will give the script credit that at one point he says at that point, like, this is the best I can do. This is a big step for me. So like, there's at least something to indicate like he has some self-awareness that he is just like this wooden dead inside man who clearly like has some like unresolved issues with his family. Like they talk about that a little bit. So there is something there. I think it's just that it's such a contrast between him and Julia Roberts. Yeah. That's what makes it confusing, I think.
Yeah.
Like it's just such a difference in like levels of engagement with the world.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And like what is her growth?
I guess she stops being a sex worker.
Right. I think that's it, right? Yeah. We don't see her change much.
There's a little bit about her having a little bit more confidence in herself because she's not being pushed down all the time. Not pushed down, but put down all the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then she's talking about going back to school maybe.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah. No, I think she actually does, right? Because she's like, 2 months ago, this would have been a fine offer. It's not good enough for me anymore. Ah.
So I guess she's learning
that her worth.
She's learning her worth. She can't ask for more out of life. She could take it.
That she doesn't have to listen to all the negative things that people have said.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I think she like really stretches and builds like with this very basic mantra of like, I say who, I say when, I say, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
She's managed to like find her way that way. And this is just an extension of that. I don't know. I think, listen, for a rom-com, I think they do all right.
For 1990. Okay? This is not,
and especially 1990.
Yeah.
But yeah, you turn on any like Hallmark rom-com and you're already, you're getting 1,000% more from Pretty Woman than you are from those.
Sure.
So, and I know that's a low bar, but.
I really think, I mean, maybe it's just me, but I really think my biggest issue is they got too dynamic of an actor for Julia Roberts, for Vivian. Where it's just like, she's so great. She's so charming. And then this just like marionette filled with money is.
I'm going to assign you one rom-com to watch.
Which one?
I don't know yet. Oh, okay. I'm going to pick it out. And I'm going to pick out one that's pretty indicative of most of them.
Yeah. We've watched other rom-coms. I'm aware.
Don't you just feel like I don't know. I wish they had just a little bit more chemistry.
Yes.
Oh. Yes. Like I feel like she's giving so much and he's like kind of smirking at her. And there's not a moment where like I was like, I feel charmed by him as well, you know, or like, oh, I see what she sees.
Yeah.
When this came out, people couldn't shut up about the chemistry.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, were they really just talking about that chest?
The chest. We get a lot of Richard Gere chest in this movie.
We do.
We get like almost a gold bloom level.
Excuse? Oh, yes.
Chest exposure.
Yes.
A golden bloom is
a golden bloom of chest.
Which is the award that someone would win.
Nice. Or golden outstanding bloom. Achievements of chest.
Exposure.
Go ahead.
Not a lot of butts.
I would say almost zero butts.
Like there were butts, but they were not like.
We got no bare bottoms.
No bare bottoms.
We see Julia Roberts, or at least Vivian's, underwear to butt a couple, maybe twice.
She was also topless in that scene where they kiss.
Mm.
But there's like a fence kind
of. Yeah, it was very thoughtfully placed decor.
Yes.
Yes.
There were moments I thought I was going to get the most uncomfortable I've ever been watching a movie with y'all. And then they would
cut away.
Mercifully cut away to something.
Yeah, somewhat chaste of a movie where the core premise is
a sex worker.
A sex worker and a rich businessman hang out for a week with a sex partnership.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we get a blowjob early, which cuts away very fast.
Yes.
We just get a big sigh from Richard Gere.
Yeah.
That was a scene Molly turned and said, this is why I wouldn't watch it.
Yeah, although, and that scene also does give us a bit of a teaser of what's to come because she unbuttons his shirt, but does not remove it. So you only see a hint of that chest.
Yeah.
But just to refresh listeners' memories, that's also the scene where she's still watching, just on mute, she's still watching I Love Lucy. On TV.
She hadn't seen that episode.
And Lucille Ball crushes in this movie.
Yes, thank you.
I was thinking about that during scene of like, God damn, I Love Lucy was good. What a comedic powerhouse she was.
She was so funny. Like physically, her physicality was amazing.
You don't even need the audio.
No, or the context for what she's doing. I guess she's making wine, maybe.
I think so.
I don't know why.
Yep. And then I was thinking about my old man thought next turn to like, oh, children are never going to see old episodes of I Love Lucy because there's nothing better to watch. And you're just flipping channels.
Sure.
And you're like, okay, this looks fun, I guess. People are laughing.
Wow. I mean, that stuff's probably on YouTube.
Sure, but...
Yeah, but unless the algorithm is like pumping them out at your children.
You hear this, YouTube? Hey. This is new kids content.
Yeah. Right.
I Love Lucy episodes.
Get fucking Bing Bong the junk clown or whatever. I don't know. Who's that guy you hate?
Oh, Blippi.
Yeah.
Who I believe Blippi has hired out Blippi.
What?
I think the new Blippi is a different actor.
Oh, no.
But it's like Uncanny Valley.
Yeah.
And that was version. Just rolling in Blippi dough that without even doing any
he's
work.
He's gone full Garfield.
Yeah.
He's gone full Jim Davis.
I think he has.
Amazing.
And like a little bit good for him, but also I don't
Fuck
like him.
Yeah.
That's also because like I could do that character. I just didn't.
Right.
And I didn't do all the video editing.
Right.
Or the regular posting.
Right.
You still can though,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Ah, the heyday of YouTube is
it's
over.
True. Now if you want if you want to do like that shit, like now if you want clicks, you gotta be like, here's my opinion about this teaser of a trailer of a movie that some people care about. It's me watching it. Do you wanna watch me watch it?
Boom.
Also, I think women are bad.
Oh, yeah.
I was
going
to say, we do that.
Yeah.
Except for that last part.
Yeah, but we don't. I mean,
I don't know, man. So.
But we don't like put up. We don't put images of us like with giant eyeballs. And going, oh.
Yeah. There's. Okay. So peek behind the curtain. My husband, no big deal, is really into electric cars and
yes.
watches like has literally the internet has run out of electric car content for him to consume.
The algorithm has ground to a halt.
Like, honestly, he waits for new stuff to be released. And so we were looking, we had YouTube on the big screen and we were kind of clicking around and I was like, oh, that one looks fun. What is that? He's like, no, you're going to hate this. I was like, no, I won't. Come on. How bad can it be? It's just like
this is electric car content.
Who are passionate about electric cars? Like, I'll see them. He's like, just wait. And I was like, wait, what is that title? Why We Hate the Rivian or something? It's like 8 reasons to despise Rivian, something like that.
This
Rivian
is
an electric
Thank
car.
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's coming out sometime. I mean, some of them exist. It doesn't
sure.
matter. The point is it's a car.
Oh, I don't.
So fully electric.
It's an Elven Kingdom in Middle Earth.
Yes.
I'm thinking of the character Riven from League of Legends.
Oh.
Who's a fallen angel.
Make a YouTube video about it.
And it's these two guys, and they're like, they just talk about how much they hate Rivian.
Huh.
But then they do stuff where they like superimpose their lips onto still images of themselves. I got through 15 seconds and I was like throwing stuff at my own television. It was just so mean.
Yeah.
And I guess that's where things are headed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Old people, am I right? Hey, this is as good a segue as any.
Okay.
So another peek behind the curtain.
Great.
I got a colonoscopy last year.
We're talking butts. Now we're talking butts.
Butt butts. Talk. I had so many opportunities for a good segue and I just missed them.
I fucking underhanded that last one here. We decided to talk about YouTube personalities.
Okay, listen, I just want to say, I know this is a 4-quadrant podcast,
yes.
and not all of you are in my quadrant, which is the 45 and ups,
35.
But you probably know someone who is 45 or up, and yes, I want 35. You to encourage them to go get their colonoscopy. Thanks to Obama and the ACA, it's free to get a screening. And the reason it's important is because they've actually lowered the age because statistically younger people like Gen Xers, are having trouble with colon cancer like way earlier. And it's can be really bad if it's not detected. So I hated it. I didn't want to do it. I was real mad about it and kind of a baby. but I did it. And it actually, the procedure itself is not a big deal. The day before you have to drink some gross stuff.
Sure.
It's okay. But the procedure itself was a breeze. They removed some stuff and they got it tested and none of it was cancerous, but it was all like, it could be. So I have to go back.
Is that how they put it?
Yeah, they were like, get excited.
I got a jar of stuff from your body.
It's me, Paul Verhoeven.
Oh yeah, look at all this stuff on your body.
Anyway, but it was enough to know that I have to go back in 3 years, and I have to have, you know, any relatives of mine go 10 years earlier than they were planning, and that's important information that none of us would have had I not gone.
Yeah.
So,
you're related to Molly. Get out there 10 years earlier.
Teens? 40 years from now, 30 years from now.
No,
30
not
years
even.
From now. No?
If they're teens, okay, go ahead.
45, right?
Yeah, okay. And you do the math.
25 to 30 years from now, get yourself a goddamn colonoscopy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Write it down.
Put it on your calendar now. I know your calendar goes out that far. Yeah. Everybody's got these future calendars.
Write it down. Mail it to yourself so that when you finally get it, you're like, what the fuck is this? I don't even know what this is, this piece of paper that just came in a box from, I assume, the one postal worker that's still around because the government gutted it for some reason. Yeah.
They're probably driving a Rivian.
Oh, well, I bet they are. Anyway, that letter will say, get a colonoscopy, totes recall said so. Yeah. And then I assume you'll say, Totes Recall, the award-winning podcast, then became a media empire.
Yeah. Log on to patreon.com/totesrecall.com.
Mm-hmm. At that point, we can afford to make it to that media
Discord and connect your Discord account. Log into the hashtag colonoscopy channel and go, I did it.
Okay. And we'll send you a sticker.
Yeah, that's right.
I love it.
They will show you pictures at the end for free.
Sure.
Nice.
For free. It's not like when you go on a roller coaster at the end, you have to buy.
You can see the preview.
You can see them for free. Yeah. You can't take them home.
Oh, then maybe it is like a roller coaster. Yeah. Like you can look at the wall, but then if you want a copy, you got
to
pay.
You got to wait for yours to come up.
That's right.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm behind that person. Okay. Now it's me.
Well, I look like I'm having fun.
Yeah, sure. Oh, they brought a chessboard. That's clever.
For the colonoscopy. These are pictures of still your face, right?
Yeah.
Just give it a thumbs up to the camera.
Just show you pictures of what you looked like while you were getting the procedure.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, you got to see the light flash ahead. Then you know it's coming.
Yep.
Yeah. Get ready for it. Yeah.
That's how most medical procedures work.
Yeah.
The flash of lights, you know what's about to happen.
Yeah.
Well, great.
Great PSA.
Yeah.
Maybe the most sincere advice we've ever given on this show.
Maybe. A sign of things to come. We'll see who has the next medical appointment.
That's right. Hey, kids, get your hearing checked when you decide maybe you've lost your hearing significantly.
Yeah, probably get an eye exam regularly.
Yeah, I should
you
do
might
that,
have
actually.
A cornea that's a good idea. Disconnecting or something.
Brush your teeth. You might have a cavity.
Yeah.
Brush your teeth. Go to the dentist.
Oh, I should do that too. Shit. Just am I the direct mandatory audience for all of this?
Dan, we just really need you to go to the doctor.
is this episode an intervention for me?
We haven't been recording this whole time.
What?
And we mean like 8 years.
Ever. Oh my God. Okay. Wow, long con.
Yeah.
Well, I have a hearing
We've
test
We've had trouble
at the end of
breaking
the month.
It up.
That's good.
Yeah, I should find a new dentist though.
Yeah. I got a rec if you want one.
Okay. Totes challenge.
Go to the dentist.
No, I was going to say recommended dentist.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totes heads in the Twin Cities metro area. If you like your dentist, just hit me up.
Yeah.
Why not? Also, it has to be in my network, though. USA number five.
USA number five. Speaking of things that are indicative of USA, we were dreaming of hot dogs to appear throughout this movie.
Oh boy,
beforehand,
sure
once
were.
We found out it was not New York. After
that New York tease at the beginning.
We were living in despair of a no hot dog life.
Crestfallen.
Hank Crestfallen.
Oh my God.
But there is a line in this movie about getting snap dogs.
Vivian to the rescue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I expected more moments like this of like, I'm from the streets.
Right.
Let me show you the things that are good about this kind of
sure.
life. We'll eat hot dogs and sit under a tree.
A little
or
more
whatever,
class
right?
mm-hmm. differences, yeah.
Like, yeah, there weren't a ton of those.
No.
I feel like Richard Gere was not necessarily learning like the simple pleasures of a life
no.
of those without.
Like even at the end,
wealth.
He's like, yes, I will buy this woman a condo.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Anyway, we got very excited about snap dogs.
Ooh, we sure did.
And see what they were. Were they not a hot dogs? Could they be the fabled not a hot dogs? Made of snapdragons or some shit?
What?
But it's probably just a conventional hot dog cart. We saw it in the extreme background. Looked like a decent hot dog cart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very professional.
It's got good snap.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Maybe it's sort of like a
good snap.
Like a or the casing is a very specific like a, kind of texture.
Like a brat.
Like certain sausages have like a very specifically cured casing. You can go like cha cha.
I'm so sorry. This yes. This is not a visual medium because Beth and Dan Linden are gesturing so hard.
Really are and breaking it up.
Dan Chiquette is not getting
you've
it.
Never experienced. You've never seen a sausage that's got snap.
No, I mean it's been. It's
oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Since, I mean, a meat-based sure, hot dog.
Sure, 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 sure.
I have Beyond Protein or fake protein tubes of other.
Not
Beth,
not
make
a hot
this
dog.
Sound more medicinated. Good.
What?
Dan's but, a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Oh, no wow. big deal. I thought you ate fish.
Yeah, sometimes.
Pescatarian.
Sure.
You ain't never had a snapper. Oh, snap.
Are people? Are you picking up your bratwurst or whatever? I mean, like,
not with your hands, not crunch, with your
like
teeth.
A fucking you could, plastic. But you could.
But
is
when
what
you
I'm
bite into it, it snaps.
That yeah. snap.
Yeah.
All right.
But there are some like I think it's maybe like a type of like Spanish sausage or Portuguese or something where like
that
is...
Space Telecova's chorizo.
What?
What's happening? What's happening, Dan?
It's only 11 p.m.
You okay?
I know what you're talking about though. Yeah. But yeah. No, it's like a thinner red sausage that just has like a very like tight tube that you can just like crack.
Okay, I think I know what you're talking
slim
about.
Jim?
I've never cracked it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's similar, at least in terms of the texture on the outside, yeah. Mm. But I believe in flavor, it is
spicy.
Muy picante.
Yeah.
Is it step into a Slim Jim?
Snap into a Slim Jim.
It is snap yes. into a yeah. Slim Jim.
Because you can
snap it.
Snip, snap.
That I understand.
Okay, it's like the same thing.
That's the same idea.
But a hot dog.
Less thin.
It's like,
long.
Yeah, like a certain bratwurst, like they'll make that snap. Not as well because it's too thick and
it's the casing,
bulbous,
right?
Yeah,
it's
like if you want to share with a friend, you snap it in half.
Yeah, you snap your bratwurst.
Oh man.
Anyway,
I bet there's a whole campaign around Snap Dog and how you can snap it with a friend.
Absolutely,
share it.
Yeah, like the guy's like
share. Maybe it's just you. You don't actually eat the hot dog; you just hold it up and snap a picture.
Oh, Snap Dog! I mean, it's like take a picture with a dog.
Yeah, Snap
this
Dog.
Is pretty Graham.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like a business for 2022,
though. Oh, we're going to bring realism now?
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. What are you wowing at? Like a good idea about how they're ready in the snap?
Who's in
oh,
the
that
snap?
That is good.
That is good.
Because it's a quick hot dog.
Yeah.
Oh, I just need food. I'll get it in a snap.
Do you think that's what they say? And then when they say snap, they crack that dog
right in your face.
Yeah.
That's
hot
like
steam comes
when you
out?
Go to yeah. like Dairy Queen and they like take
oh,
your
turn
thing
the,
and
oh,
turn it upside
really
down.
Sadly, like turn it upside down. I don't.
I know.
I don't care about
it's
that.
It's so okay. It's so hard for me every time that happens to not be like, you don't have to do that.
I don't need the show.
like, what are you? It's this ice cream. Like,
I'm not going to do that. Well, I'm not going to eat it upside down. I don't need it to do that.
It's like my first thing is to be like, you don't have to do that. But then obviously they do it pretty quick. So like then my instinct is to be like, thank you. like they did anything for my benefit.
They probably hate it too.
I'm sure they do.
I'm sure
I've seen the like very like half-hearted
they get in trouble. I could be like a plant, you know, like
exactly.
from corporate.
And I'd be like, excuse me, how do I know that that blizzard is the correct thickness if you didn't show me that it defies gravity through willpower alone and probably some, you know, specific
somebody
chemicals.
Somebody is so proud of that.
Oh, whiteboard drawing of someone flipping a blizzard upside down, dollar signs.
Just draw a normal blizzard and then turn the whiteboard around.
And then just turn to the boardroom and say, any questions? That definitely happened.
Yep.
Anyway, if you work at Dairy Queen, I understand that your boss will yell at you, but like for me personally, if you ever hear my voice and you're like, oh, that's the guy from the podcast, you don't have to flip the ice cream
just
for
give
me.
It to me and be like, here you go. I do appreciate they got small sizes over at Dairy Queen. That's one thing I do appreciate.
The minis.
The minis are the tinies. That's a reasonable amount of ice cream.
It's a reasonable amount of ice cream.
So much ice cream from these ice cream stores is too much ice cream.
Dan, chronologically, you are not as old as you sound. You sound like you're 80 years old.
Listen. Is everybody eating that much ice cream? You go to an ice cream store, you get one scoop? One scoop? That's the size of my head.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Speaking of old men who rule, there are a couple of characters in this movie
that,
oh boy, did they, like, talk about charm. obviously there are some younger men. The entire staff of the hotel was horny for Julia Roberts. Every single one of them.
Oh, especially Dennis.
Dennis, the elevator boy. Oh boy.
I think at first he's just so jazzed to have something different happen.
Like, absolutely.
There's a hooker in the elevator.
He's thrilled.
Is what he's telling everybody when he gets back.
Yeah.
Plus she's so funny.
Did you hear? Did you see?
Yeah. And then I think he comes around. Yeah. Then I think he's like invested in their relationship.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, because he probably was like having a smoke break with Barnard at one point. He's just like, oh, this poor girl. She tries so hard to charm this ice cold man. I don't know why he's French all of a sudden.
Because he's passionate.
He's a good lover.
Yes, he's from Genovia.
Nailed it.
Which is between France and something, right?
Yeah.
So he probably has a little bit of a, you know, France heritage. Anyway.
Do we think Dennis is an improviser?
Like the actor?
Yeah, the actor.
Or the character, like after work he goes and improvises over at the Groundlings.
I think he's, yeah.
Oh, Groundlings, yeah. Much more on brand.
Thank you. I think he is, yes.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he used all of that material from the elevator.
Yeah. Love an elevator scene.
Absolutely.
You just stand still.
Yes, incredible. That elevator also had a couch, apparently, which I agree with Julia Roberts. That's incredible.
Yeah. I'd be into
that. I would have the same reaction as she did.
Yeah.
Dennis is great because he was horny and invested.
Yeah.
There were a couple other people that were like just horny, which was charming.
Yeah.
But the true kings of the Los Angeles upper class scene were at the restaurant Voltaire, which is where the first time that he made her buy a nice dress so he could take her to somewhere classy where he's doing the business.
Yeah.
There's a moment where a guy who basically looks like Statler or Waldorf, I don't remember which one, is the one with the mustache. the Muppets that heckle people from the balcony, who pulls her chair out for her.
Yeah.
Incredible scene.
Great hair.
No just lines delivered, but just hair. Like a perfect poise. Yeah. You know that guy's going to move that chair with incredible precision.
Yeah.
We already know this restaurant staff's the best old men in Los Angeles, but it's proven when at one point, Richard Gere, in, again, a scene where at that point I am also like, is he just fucking with her?
Yeah, it's a real dick move. He sets her up for failure.
With like a bunch of weird foods.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, it's escargot. And so she does what tries her best because Hector Elizondo taught her about silverware.
Beyond.
Yeah.
Hector Elizondo teaches her about all the forks. So she's like, oh, great, I know what a salad fork is. He brings them some kind of weird pate. She goes, where's the salad? And he says, like a psychopath, salad is at the end of the meal.
Yeah.
What fucking restaurant are they at where the salad comes at the end of the meal?
The Voltaire.
I couldn't handle it. And like, then that fork's in the middle.
What's in the salad if it goes at the end of the meal? Is it just like one radish?
I don't know.
Like it's a palate cleanser at the end?
Yeah.
Fruit maybe salad instead of dessert?
Is it a European thing?
I don't know. Is it?
End of meal salad?
European listeners, there has to be at least one of you.
Yeah.
Tweet at us.
Someone in England. We got England's.
We do?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Someone from England or wherever.
Yeah.
Tell us if you eat salad at the end of your meal and what it is.
But yeah, honestly, like, Richard Gere's character orders her, like, these sad pate toasts.
Yes.
And escargot, like that is not what you order someone you care about.
No, especially if they've never had it before.
Oh, terrible.
Come on.
Oh, but we're getting to the escargot scene.
Right. Okay. So she's dealing with the escargot, which as any, you know, streetwalker with a heart of gold who has never experienced something like this would do is just sort of like, how do I even navigate this? Hector Elizondo very sultrily told me about all of these forks. None of them were for snails. She goes for it. She tries to deal with it with utensils. Snail shell goes flying, like upper decks, like home run, and just like a perfect arc. This man, whose job I am not even clear if he's the maitre d' or if he's just kind of there, he catches that snail in such a smooth motion where he like, it's like he was destined to catch it. He catches it and then brings it down and just gracefully puts it out of sight. Yeah. And it is, I don't know. It like was incredible. No one was expecting
top
it.
Top 10 plays.
Yeah. Right?
No one was expecting it. Like the snail shell goes off, you're like, LOL, fish out of water. But no, it doesn't hit someone. It doesn't hit Doris, the old lady, or anything.
Yeah.
It is just caught by the most professional restaurant employee in Los Angeles.
And then apparently the director had him say, added the line,
happens all the time.
Which then he used again in The Princess Diaries.
What?
There's a scene in The Princess Diaries where she's struggling at the dining room table. with surrounded by dignitaries. Something goes flying. The exact same actor.
What?
Catches the thing, says it happens all the time.
Yes. Gary Marshall.
Snapcatcher is the same actor in Princess Diaries?
Same character, too. The Marshallverse.
Yeah.
You're telling me that G. Marshall recycles his punch-ups?
Yes.
Wait. Oh. If that character is the same, that means that Hector Elizondo.
It makes sense.
Did I say his name right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, he is the same character. He's just undercover.
You've established a shared universe through the snail catcher. This is amazing. This is like when Stan Lee showed up in all the Marvel movies. Yeah. Snail catcher.
Now I gotta look at like a comic book villain.
Now it does. It really does.
Yeah. I would read the snail catcher. Absolutely. By the way, yeah. Sounds like a good book.
Happens all the time. Cuckers.
Followed by the snail catcher's wife. That would be the sequel.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Like anyway, that. He was amazing.
I love Bride of Snail
Top tier. What?
I'm just watching.
Oh, Bride of Snail Catcher. No, yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it.
You gotta establish a franchise.
We'll pitch it to the
Revenge of Snail Catcher.
Ooh.
Oh.
That's where he throws it back.
Snail Catch Academy. Oh, wow. That's for kids. That's when it's spun out a little bit.
Yeah, sure, 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 sure.
They're all teens. Snail Catcher. Catch snails.
If you can. I'm dying inside. I'm Edward Lewis. Anyway, he was great. Incredible old man. Were there any other incredible old men that I'm forgetting about?
Daryl's not that old, but he's incredible.
Oh, Daryl the limo driver.
Daryl is
who is credited as Daryl the limo driver, by the way.
Mm-hmm. He's the Daryl limo driver. I think he's employed by the hotel because
it was unclear at first.
Yes. Elizondo's given him instructions.
Yeah.
But the scene he kills is his first
introduction,
scene.
Yeah.
Where, Edward Lewis has got to get somewhere. I don't even know.
I think he's just bored and wants to go back to his hotel, right?
So he steals his lawyer's fancy car and he says, I can't get to the limo. It's blocked in. And Daryl's up against the wall. Great lean.
He says, like, Daryl can't get it out or something.
Yeah. Cut to Daryl. He just, like, throws his hands up, keeps reading the newspaper.
Yeah, he's just like, what are you going to do?
Hey, what are you going to do? Great.
And
we see him. I think our last shot of Daryl is
so
also very funny, where they cut back to him after the big limo.
Yes.
Umbrella scene,
yes,
that Molly loves so much.
I don't, but I go ahead.
Yeah, they come back to Daryl and fire escape.
He's just staring, not moving at all.
There might be the barest hint of a nod of approval from Daryl, but mostly he's just kind of watching the scene play out.
Yeah, like you do.
You think his intern Molly's just like rich people, man?
Yeah, it's like this is the third time I've seen this today.
And he's just pissed that fucking Edward Lewis went through the sunroof and walked all over the top of his limo.
Plus, he was like, he made a point of saying on the way, well, your plane's going to leave on time. Although I was like, is it still a private jet? Because that's always going to leave on Richard Gere's time.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's like, plane's about going to leave on time in 1 hour. And I was like, I wonder if Daryl has plans.
Do you think Daryl's planning the scenes? Do you think he and Elizondo plotted?
Oh, they're in cahoots.
No, I think Daryl was going to swing by on the way home and see his lady friend and maybe have a sandwich.
Slapping
some bread together.
Yes. Two slices of butt coming together.
Make a butt sandwich.
Literal regular sandwich for like lunch.
Sure.
His plan, he's got to like use that big old cell phone.
He's like,
to
I gotta
call
just
his lady.
Stand here while this guy
be like, sorry, baby, I can't make it.
Yeah,
rich guy figures
out like it's nice to feel love. Cool.
Yeah, he figures out that like, oh, I could just keep hanging out with this woman I like.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That. Yep.
Yeah.
Big.
So you're saying
big revelation.
You're saying that like you're saying that Daryl. Maybe what's happening is he was gossiping with Barnard, Hector Elizondo, and kind of knew that there was this stuff percolating. So in his head, he's just like, oh man, if he asked me to take him to her apartment, I'm going to be so pissed.
Yeah.
So that's why he's like, oh, planes.
Yeah. Planes.
Wheels up in an hour.
Going back to New York.
Going back to New York.
Poor Daryl.
No, Daryl.
He'll get his.
Will he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, he's a good lover. I think we can all... We all know that.
So let's make sure. Okay, let me make sure we have this. To get the canon established. The good lovers in this film are Daryl the limo driver, Barnard Thompson, the hotel manager.
We assume Vivian.
Oh, Vivian for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Vivian can get it.
Professional lover.
Yes. And then I assume Edward Lewis is just like a wet fish that's just like lying there.
Yeah.
Like, what happened to my dad? What did I do wrong with my dad?
I'm so mad at my dad.
Let me play you the piano. He had a little fire at the piano scene.
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, but then we set this up.
Yes. All right. Okay. So first of all, I think he put his contract, but Richard Gere composed his own music apparently, and played the piano himself.
Yes.
Apparently a pianist. And there's a scene where he's like up at 3 a.m. still playing. Oh, because Dennis brings Vivian down. Yes. We love Dennis.
Was anyway. He fucking abandoned her in the hotel room?
Yeah. He sure did. He had to go work some stuff out about his dad. Mm.
And he had to force all the hotel staff just to sit around and listen to him.
I don't think he forced them to. I think they had nothing better. You know, it's the end of your shift. Oh, sure. You're not ready to move on quite yet. And some dude's playing the piano.
No sandwiches to be had.
So there are a bunch of people just kind of sitting around who are wearing aprons or whatever to indicate they are working there and not like whatever. It's 3 a.m. She comes in.
Didn't someone describe them as like James Dean and...
Yeah, it looked like Freddie Mercury and James Dean. Like
those specific employees.
Hotel workers, they kind of closed in on the show.
They were putting like napkins in a hamper or something.
Yeah, they had it was like, uncanny.
They had some... specific qualities.
I feel like maybe they were waiting for their chance at the piano.
Oh.
But like this guy was hogging it. And so like they're waiting around.
Mr. Lewis gets whatever he wants.
This and they're like, well, maybe he'll leave soon. Yeah. And
this
then,
is like in Dirty Dancing when all the like, you know, the rough crew goes and like has a watermelon party in their shack. Mm-hmm. You know, they're ready to like pound some keys.
Make some tunes.
Oh boy.
So you're saying that like they were also intending to have sex in that room.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I just meant they wanted to play the piano.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're going to do that, too.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, though, is like even in this scene, like that does become a euphemism because like as they're maneuvering into their lover's embrace, she keeps hitting the keys.
Oh,
like,
they definitely play the piano
they
later.
They had to add that sound later because, as you know, if you've ever sat on a bunch of piano keys, it does not make like delicately weird sounds.
Clonk,
it
makes like clonk, clonk,
clonk, bang, bang, bonk, which is not and sexy, then, like, as we know.
And then it would hold that note.
Right. Well, and, like she probably, I mean, she's just wearing like a little nightie, so she's probably just like squeaking on the top of that.
At any rate, when, what's his name, Edward Lewis?
Yes.
When Edward Lewis tells you, can you clear the room? Everybody cleared the room.
That's right, because Barnard has made it clear.
To not watch these two people have sex in the middle of a ballroom.
Yeah.
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 And like, you know, there's some guy who's like, I actually haven't finished vacuuming. Is it okay? I just go?
Mr. Thompson, I didn't get to the East Wing because Mr. Lewis is having sexual intercourse on the piano. How dare you speak his name to me?
Yeah, we get some wet 90s kissing in this.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Peak 90s tongue.
No, but you can tell the 90s have begun.
Yeah.
You can see where it's going.
We're open mouth, kind of chewing.
Dan Jaquette coined, what is it?
Two wet whales. Slapping together.
Yeah.
Molly broke. Yeah. It destroyed her for a solid 5.
Yeah.
It was my Manchurian candidate.
Yes, she was finally activated.
She got up and assassinated some world leaders.
Yeah.
So sorry, world leaders, if you were assassinated during the recording of this podcast.
Our bad.
But I think there is something. It is very 1990s kissing.
It's like, weird.
There's just something about that era. It is so wet and so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that it's not fun to kiss that way. I'm saying it's not that fun to watch people kissing that way. I just want to
hear it. I don't want to hear it.
Kiss any way you want to kiss, teens.
Teens.
Don't get kiss shamed by this podcast.
Yeah. Kissing
get
is great.
Get your tongues everywhere if you want to.
Yes.
Or use no tongues.
Yes.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's just weird that there's like cultural kiss standards through the ages.
Right. It is. It is weird.
Yeah. The fact that you can be like, that's a 90s kiss.
It's like every decade there's like a specific Hollywood kiss.
Oh, yeah. The 50s kisses with Elvis were horrendous.
Oh, no.
They were like aggressive and strange.
Just like smashing their skulls together.
Someday I'm going to make...
Beth, apologies for clapping into the microphone. That's for future Beth.
Yeah. I'll be like,
Someday you're
going to
make...
Oh, someday I'm going to make... a video montage showing the difference in kiss styles.
I love it. I would love that.
Because it makes me insane. like how different they are. And I feel like I have y'all, which I appreciate, but I just feel like the world needs to know.
Absolutely. Yeah. We got to bring this up all the way to the top.
Yeah.
Joseph R. Biden, we're going to tell you how people kissed in different decades. Yeah.
That'll work.
Yeah. And then I don't know what happens after that.
Mission accomplished.
I sure. Yeah.
Drop the banner.
Drop the banner.
Folks, we, everybody's just kissing differently every decade. You know, it's just, you watch a movie from the 80s and they're just kind of sticking their faces on each other. Then you get to 1990 and man, they just, those wet whales come out.
I've never tried to do a Biden before, but I usually just think of him as like slowly dying. The best I can do.
Oh, poor Joe Biden.
Come on. He's had COVID like four times in the last 2 weeks. He's an
unstoppable democracy machine.
Papa Biden, Dark Brandon Rises.
He's got aviators on, so he'll be fine. He'll be okay. Right.
Jump in that
Trans Am.
That Trans Am.
There you go.
No. Convertible car?
No.
Not that he drove, but I did notice quite a few convertible cars and great sight gag for LA where a dad figure is driving the convertible and he's on his giant cell phone and the kid has a plastic giant cell phone. Although all of us were like, that kid would have a real cell phone now.
Pokemon going to the toy store.
And then a gross guy like making lewd suggestions to Vivian and Kit.
Oh, he was in a
convertible. They were convertibles represented, not. Yeah. Was that a Lamborghini? What was that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Oh, it was a Lotus.
You're the dumb face.
You're the one. Yeah, you're the gearhead of the podcast.
Oh, right. Thanks. Yeah, it was a silver car.
Okay.
Great. Yeah, silver car.
Something in a Lotus. What is the, something goes with that?
I have expensive no car. Idea.
Yeah.
Yep. Well.
Are you going to look it up?
No, before we get to final reviews of the podcast, we like to engage with our fans. That's you.
Are you talking about fan engagement?
I'm talking about fan engagement. We post on our Discord a call for Q's and C's on record night. Questions and comments. And here they are.
Oh, wow.
Toadshead number 5. Uh-huh. Says, ooh, what would this movie look like in 2022? I put some mustard on there, ooh.
Okay. Is it just two O's?
It's 6.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I think that's an appropriate amount of mustard.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Wait, is it all, is it mixed up? Case?
It's a capital case. Like, the first one's big and the other ones are little.
Okay. So maybe a little too much mustard.
Ooh.
Though.
Yeah.
I think you did it.
Beth's probably better. Yeah.
No, you got
Beth's
it. Was better. I just did it exactly how you just did it.
Beth's was
Beth's
better.
Beth's was 1,000 times better.
So it's at number 5. Feel free to write in.
Yes. Tell us who the best ooh or what.
You can call us and tell us how to
that's
say
right,
the
do
ooh.
The
oh,
you.
That's better actually. Yeah.
We'll do it live as they say.
Yes, as they say.
What was the question?
Good question. What would this movie look like in 2022?
A lot more growth.
Yes.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Any chemistry from Edward.
Or here's what would probably happen is like, there would definitely be at least, depending on who made it, there would at least be a little more like overt flirtatiousness from the man.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they'd go too far and it's like, well, now he's just irritating, you know?
Yeah.
Who would they cast, though?
Would you want to gender swap this?
I'm listening.
And have, Channing Tatum.
Okay, I'm listening.
Is this Streetwalker?
You have my attention.
And
Sandra Bullock.
Is that Lost City?
Yeah, except for this would be better.
Did you watch it?
I did see it.
How was it?
It was fine.
Okay.
Oh, no, it looked so fun.
Did it?
Yeah.
Didn't it just look fine, though?
No, it looked fun.
It can be fine and fun.
I mean, it's fun.
There you go.
Oh, no.
I had a fun time.
Oh, no. Sounds
like you did.
Sounds like Annie Hathaway talk right there.
No, it was better than that.
Great.
Oh, great. Okay.
Well.
I think you could play. But I think there would just be more growth between the characters. I think it's really hard to keep making Cinderella movies.
Right.
But we still do it. So,
yeah.
Like, I mean, as a culture, not me personally. So I guess it's possible.
I feel like it's hard. It would be harder now to have such a light touch. Not even that light of a, this light of touch on like the realities of sex work.
And the realities of economic disparity.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the first scene is a woman being pulled out of a dumpster.
And then they never,
they never bring it up again.
Yeah. They like, really, yeah.
The original version of the script had like drug dealer chasing Vivian, and that's why she gets into the car.
Oh, wow.
The end is this bleak thing where Richard Gere kicks her out. Sorry, not Richard Gere. Edward Lewis kicks her out of the car and throws money at her and drives away. And so
that's the end of the movie.
And with her money, she takes Kit to Disney World and just looks off in the distance, sad.
That's the original ending?
Yeah. And I think Mel Brooks was like, not my movie.
No.
Yes, yeah, so it was Brooks? Super dark. Gary Marshall. Oh. Gary Marshall. I'm sorry. That would be very different.
How would you even get to that ending?
I mean, I'm sure there were differences all through it, but I think it was more about the relationship between Vivian and Kit and sort of mutual trying to take care of each other then, you know, this whole other side thing. But this came out at a time where capitalism was only considered good, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Coming out of the 80s.
Coming out of the 80s, greed is great. Your dream is to have somebody show up and give you a credit card.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think the closest we have to that now is like 50 Shades of Grey, right? Where like you have a super wealthy person.
Sure.
Who like basically trades their wealth for sex.
I see. Is she also power. A sex worker? I have no idea what this story is.
She's just like a rando.
She's a rando, but the point is that the fact that he has gobs and gobs of money makes up for a lot of the fact that he's kind of sadistic, I think. I haven't read it.
Okay.
I've seen it.
Got the sense of it.
All of them?
Have you?
Just the first one.
How was it?
Very bad.
Okay.
Well, that makes me feel better.
No other movie... I have been as lost as to what anybody wants. I can figure out no one's desires in the whole movie.
Yeah. Other than
ostensibly a movie that should be about desire. Yeah.
Yeah.
But even that is like, I don't know. Do they want to have sex? Mm. I guess, but I don't know.
I think the power, like the thing that I think is admirable about what Pretty Woman does is it tries to put these two people on equal footing.
Yes.
As people who are businesses and in command of their own assets.
Right.
I just don't know that you would buy it now.
It'd also be, I feel like it would, especially now, it would be a lot harder to, his more economic gestures of growth would have to be like way more drastic for people to sympathize with him or like still be okay with him.
Or they have to play up his background as the child of a music therapist or something.
Yeah. He'd definitely have to like maybe just quit his job for people to feel like, okay, he's like an okay dude, right? Yeah. Instead of just being like, oh, rather than destroy your company, I'll just buy it and profit from it.
I mean, he definitely wouldn't be able to build warships as the ending, like, wow.
Don't worry, baby. I'm building destroyers for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that relates to the reference machine, which is sorry to preempt. That's the person's name.
The reference machine, sorry to preempt?
To preempt Molly's Wikipedia quote, but the original plot was supposed to be a dark and gritty cautionary tale. Oh. What do you think happened to get it here?
Gary Marshall.
Yeah. Gary Marshall.
Punch-ups, baby.
Yeah. He added in a thing about keys.
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
I forgot about the keys.
His most old man punch-up is a joke about how hard key cards are to work in the door.
Didn't he literally say, like, I miss keys or something like that?
Yeah. Which never comes back. It doesn't set up anything.
No. Nope. There's never an additional challenge to open that door.
It's just a complaint from an old person. It's great.
Yeah. Gary Marshall.
Right. I think that's the answer, right?
Oh, yeah. And apparently he had to pay Hector.
Edison, though.
Yes. Had to pay him directly because Disney didn't want to pay him. And then eventually Disney did come around to pay
him. Why didn't they want to pay him?
I don't know if they didn't want to pay his rate or if they were just like, why is the hotel manager so important?
And then Gary Marshall's like, excuse me?
He is the, first of all, the fairy godmother of this story.
Yes.
And second of all, he will be in a movie that I'm going to make called The Princess Diaries. And he is very sexy.
I was going
to, just go with
it. At a certain point, you'd think he'd just like show him there, slip his headshot to them and be like, look at this. Look at him.
We also have another Princess Diary overlap. I believe it's Larry Wilson.
Oh, yes.
He plays in Princess Diary. He's the
stylist.
The stylist who's very bad. And in this one, he's the manager of the first clothing store who's like very into sucking up
the ultimate sycophant. Yeah, yes.
Edward Lewis to get clothes money.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think that is one small detail about what Beth brought up. And it's not that she brings back Richard Gere with her to that particular store. Mm-hmm. It's just that she has bags and bags of shopping.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she has an updo.
Yeah. Yes. And she's wearing fancy clothes also.
Mm-hmm.
Julia Roberts had great hair in this movie.
Oh, hashtag. A plus.
Yeah. Hair looks great. And she does wear a wig at the beginning.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's it. True.
Her hair, real hair looks better.
They which Richard better. Gere says,
I'll say
even.
It. I'll yeah. say it.
He says that. Edward Lewis says it in the movie.
I'm not afraid to say it.
Oh, really? Oh,
I was almost wondering why she even wears that wig.
This is
such good hair.
Separation between
yeah, I guess yeah. so.
Your work outfit.
Yeah.
I guess
home
so.
Outfit.
Yeah.
Apparently the detergent to make the bubbles in the bubble bath was so strong that it washed out the red dye in her hair.
Gasp.
And she had to re-dye her hair that night.
Oh, awkward.
That could not be good for her skin.
I know. That's what I thought. I was like, how is that not part of this Wikipedia fact or whatever it is? It wasn't even Wikipedia. It was IMDb.
Oh. IMDb. IMDb.
That's the song for a basis.
IMDb. Oh, that's a good point.
What was that?
Took it back.
Oh, my God. That was horrifying.
Like a couple of whales.
Oh, Molly.
That was how it sounded, by the way.
Yeah.
So...
sounded like a podcast producer reneging on a theme song.
If you want some good Foley work, just give me a call.
Great.
Yep. Two Tonys are busy.
Two Tonys Foley.
Okay. So my ask, how does Jason Alexander compare to the other creep supremes in movies?
Ooh, great question.
You know, I was not fully against Jason Alexander for most of the movie.
Right.
I was somewhat sympathetic of like, oh, he's just fucking businessman trying to do evil business as hard. Like he's fulfilling the role he's been set to do by Edward Lewis.
Right.
And you know, he's right to a degree that like we're trying to do the business to make all the money and you're fucking it up.
Yeah.
But then he does try to come and he tries to assault,
sexually
assault Julia Roberts. And so
takes a bit of a turn.
I didn't like him. And, you know, I never liked it, but I was like, okay, yeah, you're creep supreme of the movie.
Yeah. Like, it's one of those things where he's very, like, when he first finds out that she is a sex worker, like, he is immediately, like, very disrespectful to her and very creepy to her.
Yeah.
But it's not like, he's not set up as just like, ooh, let me talk about how horny I am and, like, very interested in objectifying women. Yeah, it's mostly like, money, 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 I'm a businessman. And then, like, he sort of just, like, they slip that in there a little bit of just like, also, he disrespects women sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's not like beating you over the head with it until it very much is beating it over the head with you at the end of the movie.
Well, it was pretty shocking when he was like, hey, what about me? How about after Richard leaves town, we get together?
Yeah.
That was a pretty big drop.
Yeah, that's
what it's. And then the actual hitting was like really, really bad.
Yeah.
Sexual assault, yeah.
He like, I know this is a weird like distinction, but I'm like, he's almost not even creepy. He's just straight up an asshole.
Yeah.
Like he's very aware of what he's doing.
Right.
It's not in a like a, you know, I'm trying to like be sly about anything.
Oh, yeah.
He's
yeah.
just straight up like an asshole.
Yeah. He's like, I'm mad at my current situation. I'm going to take it on you because you're nothing to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it comes from that place of like there, the power dynamic is very obvious in that of like, my power has been taken away by Richard Lewis.
Yes.
So I'm going to go.
Edward Lewis.
Edward Lewis.
Richard
that
Lewis.
That would be an amazing movie.
Richard Lewis just destroyed him comedically.
Yes.
So I'm gonna take something of Edward Lewis.
Right.
And,
he's pretty bad.
He's pretty bad. I would definitely say he is not like in the top of creep supremes that we have witnessed in movies, though.
Yeah, which is really just saying more about how bad creep supreme are.
How supreme these creeps can be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But definitely terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's awful.
Yeah. I think we all agree we don't like him.
Do not like.
But he gives a good performance.
Yes, good job, Jason Alexander.
You can see why they cast you as George Costanza.
Yes.
Yep.
It's very similar characters.
Yeah, right? I mean, George Costanza is a very successful lawyer.
Yeah.
Who works
Architect.
For
Architect.
Yes. Works for a very large company. Yeah.
My last name's a palindrome. Since the recording of this episode coincides with the Minnesota Fringe Festival, what have been your favorite excuses for not seeing your friend's Fringe show?
Great. Local reference.
Local reference. Everybody's got a fringe show and they ask you to come and you don't go.
But also, like, not as many people have a fringe show and they don't ask you as much, at least in my experience.
Yeah,
now,
once you get
because everyone's died a little inside because we've been locked down for 2 years.
I used to just not go to fringe because I was asked by so many people that I was like, I can't make it to everybody's show and I don't want to, like, make people feel bad.
Right.
So I just said, I'm not going to anyone's show.
Yeah. Peek behind the curtain. Dan Linden wrote a fringe show that I was in.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Beth was a producer on. Or
sort of a reluctant producer on it.
Yeah, pretty reluctant.
Yeah. And what was my role? What was I asked to do?
I believe you were asked to come.
You were asked to come for sure.
Did you?
I did.
Oh, wow.
It was, what was it called? The Sexiest Man Alive?
Sexiest Man Alive versus the Robot Horde. Critically ignored. Broken even at the box office, I think.
Yeah.
Well, we did okay.
I guess we're an eye patch.
As you can imagine, it was very, very funny.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Thank
it was
you
really good.
So much.
And people did come.
Some people did come, yes.
Yeah.
My last days of Paladin follows up with, for a real question, how would you adapt Pretty Woman for a fringe slot?
Honestly, it'd be pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
Musical's always a popular route.
I would do it from the perspective of my favorite character, Barnard Thompson, the hotel manager.
Yes. Yeah. He's
also, then you get to see some espionage.
Exactly. Yeah. Anytime there's a scene where it doesn't have Barnard, we're like, what was he doing at this time?
Love it.
When they were at dinner, mm-hmm. what was Barnard doing? You know what he was probably doing? Slitting the throats of some diplomat.
And have to stay at that hotel. It's a perfect cover.
It's the perfect cover. You can lure them in with luxury, and then a string comes down from the vent with just a dropper of poison.
Yeah.
There's so many people trying to stay in that penthouse, and he's like, no.
That's like a John Wick assassin hotel.
Yes, exactly. Oh,
that's the opposite, because you can't kill people in that hotel.
Oh, right. That's outside of the...
Or maybe it is. Maybe he runs the assassin hotel, and he's going out on missions at night.
Oh.
He's a concierge.
Anyway, probably do that, where I'd, like, do the first scene that everyone recognizes from the movie Pretty Woman. Just as soon as they get to the hotel, pivot to following Barnard Thompson for the rest of the time.
And just the set is just the back dock where everybody does their smoke break.
Yeah.
Yep.
But we still have those, like, insane gigantic red urns.
What are those urns?
That frame the door to the penthouse.
Yeah, I'm saying every time
somebody,
an old billionaire,
got
dies
a
in there.
Giant sale on big red urns.
Oh yeah.
Because there's, like, big red, like, similarly colored flower pots inside the suite as well.
There must have just been a pallet somewhere.
And then also, I guess borders were really popular then, but the decor of that penthouse is, like, mind blowing. It's
a lot
like
going on.
It's like Holly Hobby meets Rodeo Drive.
Yeah.
That's my best summary. Yeah. Anyway.
It was wild.
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense. Is that all of our Q's and C's?
That's all of our Q's
and C's.
Great transition, Beck.
We, as everybody remembers, our rating scale is no hot dog cart.
Yeah.
which is a repurposed hot dog cart.
Like, structurally, it is a hot dog
cart. Yes. Yeah. From a great distance. The paint job now should make it clear
that it's
not selling hot dogs anymore.
It should, but for some reason, everybody comes up and asks multiple times if they're hot dogs.
For some reason, they decided to paint it red and yellow, which are classic hot dog colors.
Yes, the condiments of choice.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just like the director's thing. Like ice cream carts, hot dog carts, not quite hot dog carts.
Oh, yeah. Princess Diaries had that ice cream cart.
Yep.
And ruled.
Yeah, that guy rocked.
There's a lot of similar scenes between those two movies, actually.
I think he's reusing those punch-ups.
Yeah. There's like a Here's How Forks Work scene in both of them, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
a lot of movies
Yeah, that's true.
Which we pointed out, I mean, I don't want to speak bad about Barnard, but his explanation of all the forks is overly complicated.
He should have started small.
Starts it outside in.
He did. Yeah. He started with a shrimp fork.
But he says the number of times, but that's just so you...
High five on mic.
Yeah.
but I think it's just so you get the comedy of her lifting up the forks and trying to count them. It was for comedy, not for simplicity.
Right.
Fair enough. He's not trying to actually teach us how to use... Every time that happens in a movie, I cue in because I don't...
Yeah.
I am afraid to be in a situation where I don't use the right cutlery, even though I kind of hate that there's a lot of cutlery.
Oh, right.
I feel it in me of, like, what if I'm at a fancy restaurant and everyone laughs at me?
Mm.
You know what I mean? So I'm always...
What if I ruined the big deal?
Yeah. but they sell, like, cold kale salads or whatever.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
Like just in a, like a, do you have to bring your own bowl?
Waffle cone.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay.
This is a new detail. Waffle cone salad.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Now it's an innovator.
Yep. All right.
But people are still asking for a goddamn hot dog. No hot dog cart.
No hot dog cart. Dad, you gave it 3.
Yes.
You don't know much about it because you haven't seen it. You think of its time. You're a coward.
Yes. That is what all the things were true from the first half. Yeah, I mean, I've discussed at length my issues with the primary romantic duagonist. What do you call it? I don't know what you call that. Like, there's protagonist, but it's really more Julia Roberts' movie. But also, like, it's weird that she's so into him because he's a dud. But also, she was so charming. So I'm going to bump that up to 4.
Wow.
No hot dog carts. On Julia Roberts alone.
Wow.
No gear bump. I want to make that very clear. Gear gets no bump.
Gear gets no bump. Guys, yeah. I don't hate him either. Like,
excuse me, it is Beth's turn, sir.
Beth, you also gave it a 3. You kind of have no ideas about this, but you remember that jewelry clamp?
Yep.
Which we didn't talk about.
No.
That happened in the movie.
It happened?
Mm-hmm. She laughs. And Molly let us know that that is a real laugh because she didn't know that
genuine.
Was happening.
Genuine. Mm-hmm.
Very genuine laugh. That Julia Roberts charmed.
She charmed.
Mm-hmm. I thought she was great, but I didn't like really much about the movie, and I really didn't believe their love story at all. Yeah. I'm going to stick with 3, I think. I thought it was okay. It was an okay movie.
Okay. I gave it a 2 and I was really grumpy about it. I didn't write any notes other than grumpy.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to go up to a 3. I'm okay. Still like, there were some parts that were good. Julia Roberts charms. There's some really good sort of ancillary characters, as we talked about. I'm frustrated by the ambiguity over my feelings towards Richard Gere. Like, he's not so bad that I like know I hate him.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't know what's happening. And I'm mad because I'm confused.
So Richard Gere in this movie is like the movie about young people from the 90s of leading men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know where Richard Gere, I feel like, fits in a really weird place culturally, at least in my brain, of like, ooh, he's so hot, but he's like, he's so old. Look at his gray hair, but what a hottie also. And then there's the whole like gerbil thing that it fascinates my imagination that everybody knows the same weird urban myth about him, but we didn't have the internet.
Right.
I don't know. Just think about Richard Gere too much.
Teens can pass things along.
Across the country?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like the special bark network, whatever it's called.
No, the
Midnight Bark.
Twilight Bark.
Twilight Bark. Yeah.
Anyway, I'll go up to 3. It's got, you know, it's fine.
So you're still a little grumpy about it.
I'm still grumpy about it. Molly, you gave it a 4. You have some nostalgia of it. Fish eyes.
What?
Jay Lott's good. That's fine.
Great. That's
fish eyes?
That's got fresh eyes.
There we go. I might still cringe.
J. Rob's good.
Yes.
J. Rob's.
Julia Roberts.
Yeah. Got you.
Wow.
Well, I'm going to do my patented cleanup everything I forgot to say during the episode.
Oh, wow. Great.
1, Bechdel-Wallace, multiple passes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Spectacular.
Really some of the best Bechdel-Wallace passing we see.
Yeah.
I looked up a lot of trivia for the show, but I could not find the answer to the one question I really wanted, which is how many times was this shown on TBS? If anybody knows that answer or knows how to find that answer, please let me know. I misspoke. This was not Julia Roberts' big breakout after the indie hit of
Mystic Pizza.
After that was Steel Magnolias and then Pretty Woman, as well as a number of other hits that I'm sure you are aware of. It's worth mentioning that Julia Roberts grew up in part in Smyrna, Georgia, which was just north of where I lived in Atlanta, Georgia.
Whoa.
And they worked in that she was from Milledgeville, which is like kind of a weird choice of places, but whatever.
Is that a real Georgia place?
Yeah, it used to be. It was one of the many capitals of Georgia over time, and then it became known for A place that had one of the few mental health facilities in the state. So to get sent to Milledgeville had like this whole connotation to it.
Huh.
Mm. I doubt the screenwriters knew any of that. I bet they just picked something that sounded small.
Yeah.
Has Ville on it.
Right.
It's not quite Rockdale. So they're like, oh, it's good. Anyway, but they put that in there because they were worried her Southern accent would come out a little bit. So they wanted to pre-explain it. Which I guess is fine.
Interesting.
And it kind of does. She's got a little bit of a...
She does in a few moments where she's really effusive. I know people who are like that where their Southern accent comes out at some times more strongly than others.
Uh-huh.
Just a couple people like that. So anyway, those were the things that I was sorry I didn't get a chance to bring up. I bring up now my apologies for leading you astray on that Julia Roberts history. I also have a confession to make. When I first saw this movie, I also did not like Richard Gere very much.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I also feel kind of ambivalent about him and don't think that he is that great. But hearing you two complain about him so much just really set me into defense mode.
Interesting.
So I maybe defended this movie a little bit more strongly than maybe I might have been inclined to.
Sure.
I also do think, though, compared to like a lot of leading men in rom-coms, he gets a little bit more to work with. And I do feel bad that he was told to tamp down his acting.
That's a shame.
Because it's way tamped down. Like, how big was he playing that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So that part's kind of a bummer.
He should have been able to just do shirtless the whole time. That would have helped.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they added the shirtlessness because, like, he wasn't sexy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you understand why she was sexy?
Yeah.
And also, okay, do we have to have the first shot of her be lacy underwear and then it pans up to her face?
How are we going to know she's a pretty woman?
Yeah, it's in the title.
Yeah.
People are going in to see the pretty woman.
So there's a lot that doesn't get examined here, but that's really a sign of the times. I think in the end, nostalgia carries me and I stay with my 4. No. What was the rating system I came up with?
No
hot dog carts.
Huzzah! Wow. So I guess in conclusion, Richard Gere should have requested that he not only get to play piano, but that he get to do it shirtless.
Yeah. Well, that he not only get to play piano, but he also get to play a character.
Oh!
Yeah.
Bam.
Take that, Marshall.
Yeah.
You hack. Reusing your snail catch.
Great catch, though. It really was so good. Incredible. The whole movie is really worth that snail catch.
Do you think he really caught it?
Yes.
Or is it trick photography?
No, Mel Brooks. No, I'm
Gary Marshall.
I am so sorry. I don't know why I'm so stuck on this. It would be such a different movie. I really apologize to all of Hollywood, but especially
wow. Not all of it. Definitely not all of it.
I apologize
to
everyone.
Most of them are scum.
But Gary Marshall himself through... arced shellfish after shellfish
how many takes?
At the actor until he felt like he had really convincingly nailed it.
That I just
so no CGI.
I'm picturing like too many takes.
Oh
right?
Yeah,
like throwing too many snails at that guy.
There's just like a pile of snails on the ground that we don't see.
A level of perfectionism that probably made everyone insane.
Yes,
but I would watch that reel.
Oh, me too.
Okay, yeah. So if you can get access to the number of times this movie played on TBS,
yes.
I know you also can get access to the blooper reel of just the shellfish flying.
Yeah,
we are looking for the Hector Elizondo character of movie trivia,
yes.
Where you do whatever it takes to get the results that you need.
And you'll be rewarded with a kissing montage.
Yes. Sold. Is that what I would say if I were the Hector Elizondo of anything, which I am not?
Yeah.
Who could be?
Who could be?
Hector is he still alive?
Yes.
I'm assuming yes. Oh,
okay. Somebody check
like
in on
we would have been informed.
By who?
The media.
Sure. You'd see him trending, maybe.
I have the internet.
Does someone make one of those websites for him?
Oh, maybe. That'd be helpful.
Oh, that's sad.
We could.
Is Hector Elizondo still alive?
Yes.
.org?
He's 85 years old.
Oh,
hell
wow.
Yeah.
I bet he's still like just waltzing.
Oh, yeah. 85 years young.
Mm-hmm.
He's also in Runaway Bride, which also stars Julia Roberts and Richard Gere.
Yeah.
Wow.
Whoa. So this is just, I mean.
Do you think there's a snail catcher in that one too?
Is that a Marshall?
It must be, right? Or else why would they all be in the same thing together?
I don't know. Was Larry, what's his name, also in it?
This is huge.
This is huge. Director Gary Marshall.
Oh! Cracking the door on the Marshallverse.
Wow. Paired him up again. Runaway
Bride.
We have
to pivot to a YouTube channel that just discusses the Marshallverse.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in.
Okay.
I haven't seen Runaway Bride.
Y'all, me neither.
As it turns out, I've written a Fringe show.
Okay.
Okay.
And it's just about the Gary Marshallverse.
Mm-hmm. I'd watch that.
It's, oh, well, that's, you're in luck.
Yeah. Cost you 8 buttons to get in.
It's playing 5 times at random times.
Uh-huh.
You'll have a good time. Anyway.
Wow.
We love
thanks,
art.
Everybody, for coming to the podcast.
Yep.
Yes, thank you for coming.
Please like and subscribe.
Smash that butt.
Leave a review for once. God damn it.
You said you were going to be nice about it this time. I did.
Wait, let me do another take.
All right.
Leave a review.
That's nice.
We haven't had one in a while. It'd be nice to read one.
Wow.
Wow.
Mr. Thompson.
Hotel manager.
Wow.
You can leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you do it. I'll read it.
Oh, my God.
What time is it?
It's 11:55.
No. This is not a special episode. We are done before midnight.
That's right. Screw you guys. You got enough. Till. You've milked all the blood out of this rock you can, you bastards. Please keep listening to the podcast.
It's a really creative outlet. No one asked me to be in their Fringe show.
Aww.
I wouldn't have time to rehearse anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. It's true. I couldn't do it now.
You can be in Marshallverse.
Yeah.
Can I be Snail Catcher?
Absolutely.
Oh. Yeah.
Fringe 2022. Check it out. When it's out. When it happens.
Yep.
Yeah.
Totes Recall is hosted by Molly Chase, Beth Gibbs, Dan DeQuette, and Dan Linden. Produced by Beth Gibbs. New episodes of Totes Recall drop on the 15th of every month. For more information and bonus content, visit us at totesrecall.com. Thank you so much for listening.